From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the perfect man. If you want a Netflix and Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. Let's hear it for Peter Sagal.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Great show for you today. Later on, we're going to be talking to June Squibb, who got her first Oscar nomination at the age of 84. But first, we got a handwritten note this week from a listener, and this is true. It said, quote, using a politician's children for your humor is inexcusable. I have turned the radio off, unquote. Real letter, handwritten. So I guess that listener won't hear this. But we are sorry. We know it gets uncomfortable. Maybe even unfair sometimes. But we are going to make fun of George H.W. Bush's son, Jeb, as long as he keeps trying to run for president. If you haven't turned us off in disgust, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Jim Saylor from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. You live in Brooklyn, so you're a hipster. What artisanal product do you make?
You know, that's a little bit of an overstated myth about Brooklyn. We got 2.5 million people here and maybe about 20 hipsters, but they get all the news.
If there are only 20 hipsters in Brooklyn, they get around a lot. What do you actually do then?
I direct operations and business at a global research institute headquartered in Manhattan.
Oh, really? That's the sort of thing that often turns out to be a villainous enterprise, yeah. Centered on world domination.
It sounds like Lex Luthor.
Yeah, very much so. So are you, in fact, a supervillain?
Well, I wouldn't tell you if I was, now would I?
That's a supervillainous thing to say.
Are you petting a cat as you speak?
Jim, let me introduce you to our panel. First up, it's a comedian performing in Los Angeles at the Laugh Factory on November 27th and 28th. It's our old friend Brian Babylon.
Yes.
Next, a feature writer for the Style section of the Washington Post. It's Roxanne Roberts.
How are you?
Great.
And a comedian performing November 19th through the 21st at Comedy Works downtown in Denver, Colorado. It's Maz Jobrani.
Hey, man.
Hey, Maz.
How you doing?
Doing well.
So, Jim, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready to play?
I am ready.
Well, here is your first quote.
Well, that's a great question. And let me begin by answering it.
That was silver-tongued Marco Rubio with one of the many scintillating responses we heard at what big event on Tuesday night?
The Republican debate.
Yes, indeed, the fourth Republican debate. We've never had a debate as substantive and civil as this one among the GOP contenders, and now we know why. It was incredibly dull. It was the first debate that made everybody watching Ben Carson as sleepy as Ben Carson.
I think here, all right, if I had to, like, Miss Cleo look into the future right now.
Right.
If I had to do it right now at this NPR radio show.
Yeah.
I would say there's going to be another wild card who's like, this is garbage. I'm going to throw myself in the ring.
What about a welder? I think maybe a welder.
A good old-fashioned guy who's like, I'm sick of this.
Well, this is the other thing, as Roxanne referred to. Marco Rubio, I mean, one of the problems, in my view, with this debate was most of the candidates took the opportunity of any question at all just to do their stump speeches. And one bit of a stump speech we heard was Marco Rubio's thing about how people shouldn't study philosophy, they should learn to be welders because he says welders make more money. This is a terrible idea. You cannot ask philosophers to be welders because nothing would ever get welded.
Yeah.
However, because he keeps saying this, philosophers across the country are relishing the chance to finally rise up as one and post an open letter.
And then, you know where that letter starts? Huh. I don't own a TV, but...
Yes, exactly.
One thing that I noticed, these guys, yeah. Every one of them wanted to abolish taxes.
Yes, they're all against
But they didn't talk
them.
About what they wanted to spend on. They're like, we're going to abolish taxes, abolish, abolish. Even Ted Cruz was like, I'm going to get rid of the IRS. I was like, really? That's the, okay, if I run for president, I'm going to get rid of meter maids and hemorrhoids. I'm going to do that for you.
Very good. Here is your next quote.
Everybody takes dope.
That was a man defending his country, patriotically, after allegations about a massive government-run athlete doping ring were made this week about what country?
Russia.
Of course, Russia, yes. Who else? Ladies and gentlemen, the good old days are back. A report this week says that a secret doping program in Russian athletics involved basically, well, everybody in Russia. Even those little Russian nesting dolls, if you pull out the last little baby one, it has huge pecs and back knee. The report says that the entire government is involved in the scheme. There are even, this is true, state security agents posing as doctors to help with the cheating. This must be the worst job in spying. It's like the get the spies together. You romance the double agent. You infiltrate the secret base. And you at the end, Fyodor, you swap the urine samples. You shall be known as Agent 001.
This is one of those no-duh news pieces where it's like, okay, they always get like 90 medals. They have necks upon a neck upon a neck. I mean, you've seen some of these athletes, you know, like, don't get that neck. Get the other neck. Give massage. Yes. Not right. Get the neck on top of it. I mean, you see these guys. I mean, now you're telling us they're juiced. Of course they're juiced.
But what would you expect with Putin in charge? I mean, here's a man who clearly has been juicing himself. Yeah. And you can tell this because if you look at really old photos of him taken in the 70s, he was a 5'3" girl named Emily Putin.
Is anyone not juicing anymore? Is there a country that doesn't juice? Like, there's got to be some country.
Yeah, America, bro. But how do you get in the 2015 future that we live in? How do you get away with doing steroids?
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking there's got to be like a country like Malta that sends like this one wrestler who's not juicing, and he shows up. He's like, this is not fair because everyone's got four necks from everywhere. Like,
By the way, if you're listening at home with your Maz Jobrani foreign accent scorecard, it's a great day for you because you can finally check off Maltese.
Maltese. He did it.
Everybody knows that's what the Maltese sound like.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim, here is your last quote.
I'll never step into a Starbucks again.
That's a man named Nick Mangine. He says he will boycott Starbucks forever because those villains did what?
Well, they made their cups just plain red instead of Christmas-themed decorations.
Right, that's exactly right. Very good, Jim. Now, there are many reasons to hate Starbucks. They're everywhere. They kill off the small independent coffee shops. They make you say venti instead of large. The coffee is bitter. The music is terrible. They never get your name right. They invented pumpkin spice lattes. The scones are old. That one you used to go to just to use the bathroom, they put a lock in the bathroom. This isn't leading anywhere. I just wanted to vent. But anyway, this week, Starbucks rolled out their holiday cups, which this year are just solid red with that Starbucks logo, to remind us all of the blood rain that will fall upon us all when the world ends on December 26th and Baal, the goat god, comes to claim his dominion.
Honestly, they're saying it's a war on Christmas, a war on Jesus, but like this, people need to realize that's a mermaid on that cup, okay?
It is a mermaid.
God didn't make no mermaids. There was no mermaids on the ark. Mermaids do demonic things by singing sirens to your death. Yes. That's devil stuff, you know?
Well, I mean, actually, after all the outcry this week, Starbucks is trying to make this right. They're putting the name of Jesus on every cup. Oh, no, that's just a cappuccino for a guy named Jesus.
I wanna freak these people out. I'm gonna start dressing up as Santa Claus and sitting in Starbucks with a turban on my head.
Oh, that'll get him.
And call myself Sunni Claus.
Like a mashup, yeah.
Bill, how did Jim do?
He made Brooklyn proud with a 3-0 perfect score.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.